you please turn to the book of Acts? Acts chapter 1. We'll read the first 8 verses. Acts chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 8. I compose the first discourse, O Theophilus, concerning all things which Jesus began both to do and to teach, until that day in which, having by the Holy Spirit charged the apostles whom he had chosen, he was taken up, to whom also he presented himself living, after he had suffered with many proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things which concern the kingdom of God. And being assembled with them, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to await the promise of the Father, which said he, ye have heard of me. For John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit after now not many days. They therefore, being come together, asked him, saying, Lord, is it at this time that thou restorest the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not yours to know times or seasons, which the Father has placed in his own authority. But ye will receive power, the Holy Spirit, having come down upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Then the last chapter of Acts, chapter 28. The last two verses. 28, verses 30 and 31. And Paul remained 2 whole years in his own hired lodging, and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, with all freedom unhindered. Dear Heavenly Father, as we continue in thy presence, we ask that thou will open thy word to us, that we may receive revelation from above, that we may really see thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask in the name of his beloved name. Amen. The Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Not only the last book of the Bible that is called the revelation of Jesus Christ, but the whole Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is why the Bible is given to us. If we know a lot about the Bible, and yet we do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, we miss the whole meaning of the Word of God. You remember the Pharisees and the scribes in the days of our Lord Jesus? They knew the Old Testament, their Bible, so well that they were able to quote any portion verbatim from memory. And yet, they did not come to the Lord Jesus to receive life. The Lord Jesus said, you search the Scriptures, because you think that in them there is eternal life. But it is the Scriptures that speak of me. But you do not come to me to receive eternal life. So, dear brothers and sisters, how important it is, as we read the Word of God, that we really see the Lord Jesus in every book of the Bible. Because this is the reason why the Bible is given to us. And if we receive revelation of the Lord Jesus, then we will have fellowship with him. And in fellowshipping with Him, we will be transformed and be conformed to His image. So may the Lord help us as we open the Word of God, that we may through the written Word really come to a living knowledge of the living Word, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this morning we would like to turn to the book of Acts. Probably in your Bible you'll find the title is The Acts of the Apostles. But we know that this is not the title in the original manuscript. By this very title that is commonly known, we know how we have misunderstood the book. Because this is not the Acts of the Apostles. Why? Because when the writer introduces his book, he said, I composed the first discourse. And we know the writer is Luke, the beloved physician. And Luke said, I composed the first discourse. And of course, the first discourse referred to the gospel according to Luke. O Theophilus. Now, we really do not know who this man is. But we know that in the old days as well as today, when you write a book, you like to dedicate it to some person whom you appreciate very much. And probably Theophilus was a nobleman at that time. And Luke just dedicated his book to this nobleman. But you know, the very name Theophilus means lover of God. So probably it's a pseudonym. It's not a real name. Probably this book is just dedicated to those who love God. And if you love God, it is dedicated to you. I composed the first discourse, O Theophilus, concerning all things which Jesus began both to do and to teach. The gospel according to Luke is his first discourse. And in that first discourse, he wrote concerning all things which Jesus began to do and to teach until the time he was taken up to heaven. Now he is writing the second discourse, or the second part. And in the second discourse, now what is he writing about? I think the hint is in that word, began. Because he said, when I wrote the first discourse, I wrote things which Jesus began both to do and to teach. Now, of course, if you read the gospel according to Luke, you find many things that our Lord Jesus did and many words that our Lord Jesus spoke. Whatever he did was wonderful. Whatever he said was full of grace. That was the gospel according to Luke. But Luke said, I just wrote to you to tell you what the Lord Jesus began to do and to teach. In other words, the gospel according to Luke does not record all the doings and the teachings of our Lord Jesus. In the gospel according to Luke, he just told us what the Lord Jesus began to do and to teach. And now in this second discourse, the Acts, he is going to continue with what he had written before, and is going to tell us what the Lord Jesus continues to do and to teach. So the Acts is not the Acts of the Apostles. Now, if you read it very superficially, you would think that it is certainly the Acts of the Apostles, and especially the Acts of the Apostles Peter and Paul, because the first section of this book of Acts tells us a lot about Peter. And the second section of this book tells us a lot about Paul. And probably you will say it is the Acts of the Apostles Peter and Paul. However, that would be more accurate. But no. It is not the act of Peter and Paul, nor the acts of all the apostles. It is the act of the risen Lord through his body on this earth. And this body is the church. So it is still the Lord Jesus himself who is speaking and who is working. And the Acts have no ending. If you read the New Testament, you will find of all the books in the New Testament, in the whole Bible, you will find this is one book that has no ending. Because at the end, you'll find Paul was in Rome, in his high apartment, and he was free to preach and to talk about the Lord Jesus unhinderedly. And when you come to that, you want to ask, what next? It is not finished. Because our Lord hasn't finished his doing and teaching yet. He is still doing his teaching and doing his work, even up to our time. And he will be doing and teaching until he returns. So the book of Acts is really the Acts of the risen Lord, still teaching and doing through a corporate body, which is the church of God. When our Lord Jesus came to this world 2,000 years ago, how was his physical body formed? In the Gospel according to Luke, we are told that the Holy Spirit of God overshadowed the womb of the Virgin Mary. And through the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit upon the womb of Virgin Mary, Jesus was born. Jesus is the name of our Lord when he was on earth. And with this physical body that he put upon himself, as the Bible said, the Word became flesh and tabernacle among us, full of grace and truth. Now, with this physical body, our Lord Jesus was able to do many things and to say many words, as recorded in the Gospel according to Luke. Because without a body, he couldn't speak. He couldn't do the things that he wanted to do. But with this physical body, he was able to do and to teach. And we do thank God for what he had done, what he had taught us. We thank God for the redemption that our Lord Jesus has accomplished for us on Calvary's cross. We thank God for the blood that is shed for the remission of our sin. We thank God for this body that is broken, that we may have life and life eternal. We thank God for all that. So in this physical, personal body that our Lord Jesus has taken upon himself when he came into this world, he was able to begin to do and to teach. But now he was crucified. was buried. But on the third day he was risen from the dead. And for 40 days he appeared to his disciples, teaching them about the kingdom of God. And then he was taken up into heaven. But that's not the end of him. Because after he was taken up, then we remember, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down, and 120 of his disciples were baptized into one body. And through this body, the risen Lord, as the head, continues to do and to teach. Our Lord Jesus has not only a personal body, but he also has a corporate body. 2,000 years ago, when he walked upon this earth, he had that personal, physical body. But after he was taken up into heaven, he is still teaching and working on this earth for these 20 centuries. And he's doing all these in a mystic, corporate body of his, which is the church. Now, how is the church formed? In one sense, we can say that the church is formed through the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit upon the womb of our Lord Jesus. We remember how Adam was created, and then how Eve was built. In the beginning, God created man. And we find that God fashioned a form, a body, with red earth. And then God breathed into the nostrils of that form, the breath of life. And this man became a living soul. That's Adam. But then God said it is not good for man to be alone. God is going to give him a helpmeet, his counterpart. But there was none. So God put him to sleep. And then God took something out of his side. Now our Bible says rib. It can be rib. It can be something else. Because in the original it just says something. God took something out of the side of Adam. And built around that something, with that something, into a woman. And you know the word build is the word that is used in architecture. So the woman is built. Is built with something coming out of man. And after the woman was built, he was led to Adam. And when Adam saw her, immediately he said, "This is me, bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." And therefore the woman is joined to the man and they become one flesh. But you know, this is just a type. The reality is, God has a beloved son, only beloved son. But God said it is not good for him to be alone. I want to give him a helmet, a counterpart. And therefore you find God put him to sleep on the cross. But it is not as people asleep as Adam did. It was a violent death. Why? It is because of the sins of the world. If there is no in the world. There's no need for the shedding of blood. When God did that operation on Adam, there was no blood. It's a bloodless operation. But because there was sin upon this earth, therefore, our Lord Jesus, the Son of God, He had to die on the cross. He had to die a violent death. Blood has to be shed. And you remember the story? After He died, the soldiers came. They wanted to make sure that He had died. They looked at Him, they saw He was dead. But they wanted to make sure. So one soldier thrust a spear through His side. And the Bible said, out of it comes out blood and water. And if you read the gospel according to John, you'll find John making a point. He said, I saw it. I saw blood and water coming out with a spear. And I bear witness to it. And my witness is true, because I've seen it. Now, why does he make such a strong point? Medically, we are told that our Lord Jesus died of a broken heart. Because when the heart is broken, then the blood disintegrates. So here you'll find the last drop of his blood in the heart. When it is drawn out, it is disintegrated into water and blood. Oh, the love of God. But then the Holy Spirit used that blood and water to build a woman, the church, the body of Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, it is the blood for the remissions of our sins. Because without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission. That is what the law said. So the blood of our Lord Jesus had to be shed for the remission of our sins. And water, he poured out his soul like water. That's life. He poured out his life. And the Holy Spirit takes hold of the water and the blood and build up a body, a woman, the church of God. And when the Lord Jesus sees his church, he said, this is me. You remember Saul, the great Pharisee. Oh, how he persecuted the Christians, the believers at his time. Because he was a Pharisee. According to the tradition of the fathers, they considered Jesus as an impostor of Judaism. So he persecuted the followers of Jesus. But on the road to Damascus, the Lord, the risen Lord, appeared to him and said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? You are persecuting me because these people are me. They are my body, members of my own body. And dear brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus, even though he is in heaven, the head is in heaven, but he has his body upon this earth. And this body has been traveling on this earth for 20 centuries. And this body has traveled to Richmond and to everywhere upon this earth. And the Lord Jesus continues to do and to teach in that body. You know, the church has no teaching. If the church teaches, it's heresy. Because the church only teaches what the Lord teaches. It is the Lord who is teaching through the church. The church does nothing. If the church does anything, it is corruption. Because it is the Lord who is doing through the church. It is the Lord himself who continues to do and to teach. Whenever you hear the church teaches, you know it is heresy. Whenever you see the church does things on its own, you know it is corruption. Why? Because the church, as the body of Christ, is to do and to teach whatever the head does and teach. Or to put it another way, it is the head who is doing and teaching through his body. So this is the book of Acts. The book of Acts tells us all the teaching and the doing of the risen Lord through his corporate body, which is the church. When the Lord Jesus came to this earth 2,000 years ago, it was prophesied of him in Psalm 40. In Psalm 40 it is said, sacrifice and oblations, God, you do not want. But you prepared me a body. Lo, I come to do thy will. And thy will is the delight of my heart. And we know this is fulfilled in the life of our Lord Jesus. Because the Lord Jesus took upon himself a human body. God has prepared him a body. And in this body of his, he did the will of God. Even unto death. And the death of the cross. Not because he was forced to, but because he loved. This is the body that he had, and through that body he was able to do and to teach when he was on earth. Now, brothers and sisters, in the same manner, after he was risen, from that time up to our time and up to the time of his return again. Do you know he is still doing and working upon this earth? And it is through a corporate body. What is that body for? That body is to reveal. It is through this body that he is revealed, he is manifested, he is known. And dear brothers and sisters, this is what the church is. The church is to reveal Christ. The church should be his revelation. The church is not to speak of herself. The church is not to draw people to herself. The church is to lift up Christ and let the world hear what he says and see what he does. That is what the church is. Now, if you read the book of the Acts, you will see that in this book of 28 chapters, now, what do they teach? I suppose some of you have gone through the book of Acts many times now, because we're going to have a study on the 26th of May. Now, when you read through the book of Acts, what do you find the apostles teach? You remember in chapter 2, verse 42, it is said, those who believe in the Lord Jesus on the day of Pentecost, 3,000, they persevered in the teaching of the apostles. what did the apostles teach? There are a number of messages recorded in the book of Acts. Today you call them sermons. But these are messages that you find the apostles give to whatever audience they could find. And if you read these messages recorded in Acts, what do you hear? For instance, on the day of Pentecost, what did Peter say? Peter said, God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and we are his witnesses. Let all the house of Israel know that the one whom you have crucified, God has made him Lord and Christ. Loud and clear. Then in the third chapter, you find a man lame was healed. And what Peter said to the people that crowded around him, he said it is in his name, in that name, that this man was healed. And you know, in the seventh chapter, Stephen, in his defense, strangely, he was not defending him, because actually he was defending Christ. In his defense, he said, he concluded his speech by saying, you have killed the just one. You murdered him. What did Peter say when he was in the house of Cornelius? He said, God has appointed a man to judge the living and the dead. And the prophets have all spoken about him. And whoever believes in his name shall have his sin remitted. Now what did Paul preach when he was in Antioch of Pisidia? The same message. The remission of sin through that man whom God has appointed. And what did Paul preach to those in Athens? Those philosophers, learned people. The same thing. God has appointed a man to judge the world and to prove it, he has raised him from the dead. Brothers and sisters, if you read the book of Acts, you'll find whatever sermon or sermons may be preached to anybody, to whoever it may be, you'll find it is the same message, the Lord Jesus. No wonder Paul said, we do not preach ourselves, but we preach Jesus Christ, Lord. The early church teaches nothing but Jesus. That's all the early church taught. The Lord Jesus. Now look at what the early church did. You'll find that in the early church, many miracles were being done. In the third chapter, you'll find Peter and John, they went into the temple to pray. And there was a man born lame, sitting at the gate Beautiful. Isn't that a contrast? The gate is called Beautiful, but the scene wasn't too beautiful. And there you'll find this man was there day after day, asking for alms. And when Peter and John came by, Peter looked at him and said, look at us. And he looked at Peter. And Peter says, silver or gold have I none. But what I have, I give to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, rise up and walk. And he rose up and walked. And of course, people gather around him thinking, what had happened? And you know, Peter and John say, now don't look at us as if it is our faith and piety that had made this man heal. Not at all. Not at all. It is that name that has made that man whole. What they did was nothing but what Jesus did. It was not they who did it. It was the head doing it through the body. There is nothing to boast of so far as the members are concerned. Because Peter hadn't done a miracle. It is the Lord did a miracle through this man called Peter. And when you go on, you'll find the same thing happen. You'll find that Paul and Barnabas, they were preaching in Lystra. And again, a man was crippled from birth. And here you'll find they raise him up, and he was whole. And people want to offer sacrifice to them, thinking that they were gods. And you know how Paul and Barnabas, they ripped their garment, jumped into their midst, and don't do this. We are trying to help you out of this. We are human beings, just like you are. We are nothing. We are nobody. It is God who did it. Dear brothers and sisters, you find all the doings in the book of Acts are the doings of the Lord Jesus. Not the doings of the apostles. The apostles never took any credit for anything. Not like today, people like to take credit. But not the apostles. They said, we didn't do it. It is the God. It is the Lord who did it. And what a great work have they done. Within a decade. 3 decades. 30 years. Within a generation, you'll find the gospel had been preached from Jerusalem to all Judea, to Samaria, and to the end of the world, which is Rome. Because Rome at that time was considered as the center and the end of the world. And Paul was there in Rome. What a mighty work they have done. But it is not the apostles' doing. Not the early Christians' doing. It is the risen Lord doing all these in his corporate body. Look at the way they live. In chapter 2, you find some description. Those believers. And you remember, it is not just a few. Because on the day of Pentecost, 120. And then 3,000 added. And you find, day by day, the God just added more and more to them. And you find it is said, and they persevered in the teaching and fellowship of the apostles, in breaking of bread and prayers. And fear was upon every soul, and many wonders and signs took place through the apostles' means. And all that believed were together, and all things common, and sold their possessions and substance, and distributed them to all, according as any one might have need. And every day being constantly in the temple with one accord, and breaking bread in the house, they received their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the assembly daily those that were to be saved. you find that these people, oh, how they love one another. They break bread together. They give thanks to the Lord together. They supply the need for one another. You find God has delivered them all the sense of self-possessiveness. And they just be together and worship together. That's the way they live. How can it be? If it is not Christ living in them, it is not possible. It is difficult for two to live together. And you have 2,000. And you know, in the early church, they had about 20,000 people. And they can be of such harmony. Why? Because it is not they. It is Christ who lives in them. And then you read again in chapter 4, 32, verse 32. And the heart and soul of the multitude of those who have believed were one. And not one said that anything of what he possessed was his own. But all things were common to them, and with great power did apostles give witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. For neither was there any one in want among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses, selling them, brought the price of what was sold, and laid it at the feet of the apostles, and distribution was made to each according as any one might have need. They were with one accord, one mind. Why? Because Jesus lives in them. Jesus lived through them. That's their testimony. A body. And in that body, the Lord is able to live on earth. See how they suffer. You know, suffering can really tell. Tell what a person you are when you suffer. And here you find the apostles, when they were beaten, they came back to their own rejoicing. Why? Because they said, God has counted them worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. See how they died. The first martyr in the church is Stephen. And when they took him out to stone him to death, he said, I saw heaven open, and the Son of Man standing there, welcoming. And before he died, he said, Lord, do not put the charge upon them. Forgive them. It's like the death of Christ. It is Christ who is dying in Stephen. And all the martyrs throughout the ages, you find the same thing. Because it is not them, it is Christ in them. Dear brothers and sisters, what is the church? The body of Christ. Why is the church existing upon this earth? Why are we here? Are we here to teach our own teachings? Or do we teach the teachings of Christ? Because the teaching of the apostle is none other than the teaching of Christ. They do not teach anything else but Christ. Whenever the church begins to teach something else, if you read Revelation chapters 2 and 3,
You will find some churches began to teach something other than Christ. And what did they teach? It's the doctrine of Nicolaitans. The doctrine of Balaam. The teaching of Jezebel. In other words, these are not the teaching of Christ. When the church began to teach something other than Christ and what Christ teaches, then you are teaching something else. It's heresy. What do we do here? Are we here just letting Christ do what he wants to do in and through us? Or are we here, we want to do something, even something for him? You know, today there are lots of work done in the name of the Lord Jesus. But these are works doing for God, doing for him. But it may not be his doing. We can do nothing but what he does. We can only cooperate with what he is doing. And that is God's word. It is not that. It's trash. How do we live? Do we each live our own lives? And even when we come together, you know, like the Corinthian believers, even they come together for the breaking of bread, which is the most solemn time, remembering the Lord. But even when they came to break the bread, they each eat their own food. Some got drunk, and some are hungry and starved. It is not when we are together in one place. But church life is Christ living in a corporate body. It is not limited to time and space. It is the love of the brethren. Not because one is lovely, but because he is a brother. Or a sister. There's the body that Christ may be expressed. Brothers and sisters, this is what the church is. And if we can live and die and do and teach in this fashion, then thank God. You find that it is written in the books of Acts. The Holy Spirit continues to write this book. Through the 20th century, he's still writing. And whatever it is, the Lord, the Christ, who does and who teaches, who lives and who suffers and who dies, you'll find it is recorded in the Acts. It will be remembered forever. But if it is not, no matter how it may appear in this world, no matter how successful, prosperous, well-known it may be, it will all be burned and will remember no more. So dear brothers and sisters, as we read the book of Acts, we need to see Jesus. Not only in the early church, but we need to see Jesus today in his people. Finally, you need to see the person through the body. When Christ was upon this earth. He had a body, physical body. And with that body, he was able to do and to teach. Full of grace and truth. But you know, the Jews at that time, they look at him. They say, where comes wisdom and power to this man? We know this man. He's the son of the carpenter. We know his mother, called Mary. We know his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, Jude. We even know his sisters. Where does all this thing come to that man? And the Bible said they were offended in him. In other words, they saw the body. Even this body that had done so many wonderful things, that has said so many graceful words, and yet they were offended with that body. Why? They only touched the body, they had not touched the person in that body. And you know, this can happen today. People can only see the church and does not see Christ. That's what Christianity today is. The world knows Christianity. But do they know Christ? Brothers and sisters, on the one hand, we cannot look at the body as if it is everything. Because the body is not everything. The body is just a means to an end. A channel. A habitation for the person who dwells in that body. The church is the body of Christ. The church is the holy habitation of God by the Spirit. The church is the vessel to contain the riches of Christ. The church is the channel, the instrument through which God works. But the church is not something in itself. It is the person in that body, Christ. We need to see Christ. Not just see the church. It is true that Christ is being expressed through the church, because without a body, how can the head express itself? But it is the head, it is Christ that we must see. So, brothers and sisters, let us see Christ in the church, and not just the church. If all you see is the church, then it must be an organization, an institution that you see. It is not Christ. You will forget about the body and only see the person. If the church is what it should be, you will not notice it, because all you see is Christ. All you hear is Christ. And if people should notice us instead of Christ, may God have mercy upon us. And you know, because people only see the church and do not see Christ, how many are frustrated with the so-called church? They repudiate it. They want to do nothing with it. Oh, if only they can see Christ, then what a difference it will make. So, dear brothers and sisters, the book of Acts reveals Christ in the body. And may this book be continually written today among us, among God's own people. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for that physical body that our Lord Jesus took upon Himself while on earth, because in that body He has done great things. In that body He has accomplished the work of redemption for us. And our Father, how we do praise and thank Thee that even though He is now seated at Thy right hand, but He does have a body upon this earth, the church. And we do thank Thee for the church, the body of Christ, because in that body of Christ, we are able to see Christ, to hear Him, to live and to die for Him. So our Father, do have mercy upon us, that as we are here upon this earth, we may really offer to Thee such a habitation, such an instrument, such a vessel, that the world may see Him and not us. We ask in Thy precious name. Amen. Amen.